security researcher detained in a data extortion investigation, and a white hat exploit saves stolen wormhole funds. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 27th of February, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, the US Treasury has imposed new sanctions on Russian and foreign entities supporting the Kremlin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. Authorities sanctioned 22 individuals and 83 entities in Russia, as well as 30 individuals and companies in other countries that have been helping Russia evade existing sanctions. Sanctions have been levied against Russia's financial sector, arms dealers, military supply chains, and metal and mining sectors. For the first time since Russia's invasion, the US Treasury has also sanctioned cyber-adjacent entities. The biggest name on this list is Zero Day Technologies, a Moscow-based IT company and FSB contractor. In March 2020, a hacktivist group named Digital Revolution hacked and leaked data from Zero Day's network, including details about Fronten, a tool that could be used for DDoS attacks, but also for orchestrating social media disinformation campaigns. But the US Treasury sanctioned the company for something else, providing databases of Western nations' citizens' personally identifiable information to Russian intelligence. More details on the sanctions package are available in the Risky Biz newsletter. In other news, two Dutch intelligence agencies, the AIVD and MIVD, say that many of the cyber operations conducted by Russia since its invasion of Ukraine have yet to become public knowledge. The report says many of these undisclosed operations targeted sensitive organisations, such as military and diplomatic agencies, which is why they haven't been discussed publicly. The same report also adds that Russia has found it difficult to synchronise cyber operations with other military operations, such as airstrikes. Cryptocurrency DeFi platform Oasis says it executed an exploit to recover $225 million worth of assets stolen from the Wormhole platform by hackers in February of last year. That's about 70% of the $322 million stolen in the incident. Oasis says it learned of the counter-exploit to recover the funds from a white hat group and obtained a court order from UK officials before recovering the stolen funds. Dutch police have detained three members of a cybercrime group that hacked into corporate networks, stole sensitive data, and then tried to extort companies by threatening to publish the stolen files. Officials say the group typically asked between 100,000 and 700,000 euros from each victim. The group's suspected leader, a 21-year-old man from Zandvoort, is believed to have made more than 2.5 million euros alone. Officials say the group stole and eventually leaked the personal data of millions of users, which is still being sold and circulated online. According to Dutch news agency NOS, one of the three suspects is a security researcher who works with the Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure, a Dutch cybersecurity collaboration group. In a message posted to its website, DIVD said it had no idea about the individual's criminal acts nor the police investigation, and that it's now investigating if the suspect misused any of its resources. Ukraine's CERT says a Russian hacking group known as UAC0056 breached government servers as far back as December 23, 2021, 2 months before Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ukrainian officials say they discovered the intrusion last week after spotting one of the gang's web shells on compromised servers. The group's malware arsenal included CredPump, an SSH backdoor disguised as a PAM module, and HoaxPen and HoaxApe, two backdoors disguised as Apache modules. A report from Momentum Cyber has found venture capital investments in cybersecurity startups fell off a cliff last year, amounting to $18.5 billion, which is a major decline compared to the $30.4 billion invested in cybersecurity companies in 2021. On the flip side, strategic acquisitions were a big focus last year, with 263 merger and acquisition deals happening in InfoSec for a total value of $119.8 billion, which is about a 48% increase on 2021. 13 mega deals of over $1 billion were signed last year, with the largest being Broadcom's $69.2 billion acquisition of VMware. DevSecOps company Phylum has discovered a massive wave of more than 1,300 malicious packages that were submitted to the official Python Package Index, or PyPI. Once installed, the malicious packages would connect to an attacker-controlled Dropbox account to download and install a Rust-based malware strain targeting Windows systems. Phylum says the threat actor appears to be the same group spotted by Fortinet and Reversing Labs in a smaller campaign last week. Phylum said all the malicious packages were removed once they were identified. And finally, the president of the Signal Secure Messaging Service, Megan Whittaker, says the app will withdraw service from the UK market if the government uses its proposed online safety bill to force app makers to water down their security and encryption features. The bill, which is currently receiving pushback from privacy advocates, the private sector, and local politicians, would require tech companies to scan encrypted messaging apps for child sexual abuse material. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Proofpoint Senior Threat Intelligence Analyst Selena Larson discussing a recent uptick in the use of malicious OneNote documents to deliver malware.
Proofpoint recently identified an uptick in OneNote documents used to deliver malware. We first saw cybercrime threat actors start using OneNote en masse back in December and into January, and it definitely picked up from there. For the most part, these were commodity malware actors, so we saw things like AsyncRat, Xworm, Redline, commodity remote access Trojans and Stealers. But then in February, two QBot actors came back to the threat landscape after a brief break, and they were using OneNote in their attack chains to deliver QBot. This was interesting because the actors, which we track as TA-570 and TA-577, are both considered initial access brokers, and we've seen QBot infections lead to ransomware. We've since seen other known initial access brokers use OneNote documents in campaigns. But this activity tells us a few interesting things about the threat landscape. First of all, cyber criminal threat actors continue to experiment with new tactics, techniques, and procedures ever since Microsoft began blocking macros by default, which was really the standard operating procedure for e-crime actors before last year, using macro-enabled documents to deliver malware. And second, threat actors follow the leader, which we see in the e-crime landscape. While OneNote was the most recent example of this, we have seen cyber criminal threat actors and the threat landscape really shift with whatever the hot new file type is. So we've seen actors start using BHD, CHM, PDF, HTML smuggling, and these typically start with just a handful of campaigns, but then you kind of see a wave of activity that starts all using the same techniques when it comes to first stage malware delivery via email. From a researcher and defender perspective, it's a bit weird. Like, why are they using OneNote or these other random file types, some of which are really old? But it comes down to the fact that previously unobserved activity has a higher likelihood of being able to bypass existing threat detections. Luckily, this technique was quickly identified both internally here at Proofpoint and in the InfoSec community in general, and we were able to identify opportunities for defense and detections to make life a lot harder for the threat actors. I don't know what the next big pivot in the e-crime threat landscape will be, but I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what creative techniques come next and how to defend against it.
And that was Selena Larson from today's sponsor, Proofpoint. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.